Welcome to Fun with Scotch and Other Fine Spirits, episode 73. This is Beachapalooza number 3. So we have two series going on here. But anyway, I'm Marlis.
I'm Judy.
I'm John.
And I'm Daryl.
I'm Barbara.
Yes, we have two guests joining us today for Beachapalooza. So what we did today is we brought a whiskey from different states. Judy brought something from her birth state of Virginia. I brought something from Washington, which is actually my birth state as well as where I live now. We have Bull Run from
Oregon,
and
the Maryland style,
based on my birth state, which I was born in Baltimore.
All right. So I don't think any of us have tried any of these before, am I right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So this is going to be perhaps the most surprising of episodes in that, you know, we have no idea what we're doing. And we have various...
We never know what we're
doing.
Well,
there is that, yeah. But we have different...
And we have even less knowledge of what we're doing.
So we have one single malt.
Should be fun.
A couple of ryes, as I understand it. And what is and a bourbon?
It's also a rye.
Oh, okay. And this is...
Rye.
And...
Mine is rye. Catoctin is rye. So
okay, so we have three ryes and one single malt. Alrighty.
Yours is a young'un. It's only 4 years old.
Well, it matured quickly, I'm sure. Anyway.
Okay. All right. So we're starting with Catoctin?
Yes.
Okay, Catoctin Creek is a distillery in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia in Percival. We had a couple different pronunciations of that, and I didn't trust either one of them. So I texted my brother, who lives in Winchester, which is in that vicinity. So, and he told me it should be Percival. So we're going with it.
You didn't ask him about Catoctin?
No. No, I figured that one out on my own. I didn't get conflicting information on that one. And it's supposedly, Virginia is the birthplace of American whiskey. And of course, I had to check that accuracy. And it actually, Pennsylvania says that they are the birthplace of American whiskey. But let me find my info here. Where'd it go? There was a little explanation on that. No, that's not it. It says that that Pennsylvania is often called the birthplace because of its large-scale rye whiskey production and the famous Whiskey Rebellion. But Virginia is cited as the first documented corn whiskey distillation in the colonies by George Thorpe in 1620. And so I think that kind of wins, honestly.
Yeah.
And plus, I'm from Virginia, so of course it should be the birthplace.
It should be Virginia.
It should be the birthplace, for sure. Now, Catoctin is derived from a Native American word pronounced the same way, Catoctin, but it is spelled differently. The whiskey is, and the creek, and there's a mountain, is spelled C-A-T-O-C-T-I-N, where the Native American is spelled K-I-T-T-O-C-T-O-N. Just in case anybody out there really cares about it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a rye whiskey. It is 40% ABV, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it is distilled by hand in copper pot stills in the rolling foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains. Mm-hmm. I did not find any tasting notes on this, though... Full disclosure, I didn't look.
Well, there you go.
You didn't trip over them.
Trip over them as I was going along. So we get to figure it out as we go.
Okay. All right.
So let us, left to right, try our Catoctin.
It smells sweet.
Mm-hmm. I'll let the nose and mouth palate people... talk about what it smells and tastes like. I'm usually like, it's good.
You can get like butterscotch or something.
And the aroma.
Mostly I'm smelling alcohol.
Yeah, well then.
There's that.
Although it's not really alcohol. It's not a nose hair burner.
Wait till we get to the last two. I'm sure those are going to...
They're probably a little sharper, yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll really smell the alcohol for those.
Yeah, I'm getting the sweetness from the corn, I think.
Are we tasting now?
You can.
Yeah.
Okay. And tell us what
I
you
tasted it right away.
It's got a little bit of a burn.
Still a little bit of a sip.
Barbara's making a face.
We're all looking at Barbara.
The last time Barbara has had whiskey was in 1996. Okay. And there's a reason for that, right? It doesn't like whiskey.
Yeah. Okay.
So we won't take she says.
Let's invite her on a whiskey podcast.
Yeah. No, wait, if she does like it, that means it's a good beginner's whiskey. How about that?
Yeah.
And you're saying this is not a good beginner's whiskey.
I'm not feeling the beginner.
You're not feeling it? No. Okay.
Yeah. It's got...
There's something about cough syrup about this.
That's what I was going to say. It reminds me of a little bit of fortified wine.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, that's sort of like...
That's kind of like cough syrup.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't tell if there's a tiny bit of licorice in there or... anise.
This might be good with some ice, though.
Might be.
Okay, well, I'm not going to tag these people when we post it.
No.
Okay. I don't want to hurt their feelings or anything.
Well, I mean, the fact is, I'm not a big rye drinker, so my opinion on this is probably not as pertinent, you know,
well, and
as
it,
some other people's.
Oh, so this is a rye, then?
This is a rye,
Common
yeah.
Creek. Okay.
Well, this is... It won the 2018 Double Gold at the New York World and Wine and Spirits Competition. And Better Homes and Gardens, I'm not sure if they're really the right people to be giving.
They think they are.
Yeah. it says, a spice-forward tribute to and from Virginia, the birthplace of American whiskey. So,
I do get spice.
Yeah, I would go along with spice-forward,
And I don't know that I said that it's... It's the rhinestone. No, it's not the rhinestone. It's the roundstone rye. Is the name of it. It's from Catoctin Creek, but it's the roundstone rye. So if you decide you ever want to try,
or rhinestone cowboy,
or rhinestone no. So anyway, I don't mind it. I think it's okay. I think with some ice, you could make a little whiskey slushy out of it.
If you're a fan of rye whiskey, this is a good one.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah.
Now that you say that it's a rye, I get more of why I'm tasting what I'm tasting. Because it has... Well, I know you said that before. I just didn't get it, because I'm dense. That's how I go.
Well, and I didn't say anything.
Rye is distinctive. We've discussed this often, where it has kind of an obstreperous sort of slap you in the face, Hey, you! Yeah. I'm walking here.
It's right.
Okay. So, if you're a rye drinker, I think you'll like it. It does have a little spiciness to it, as the lovely little medallion around its neck says. So, give it a whirl. I bought it online from actually a liquor store in San Francisco.
Yeah.
They have a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So that's where I got mine. So you can get it from online if you are not near the Blue Ridge Mountains. All right.
Next is brown. Let me see the bottle.
Which one's yours?
The Brown Forest Project Single Malt Whiskey, aged minimum 4 years in Spokane, Washington. It's 45% ABV. 90 proof, and I had not realized the Brown family, evidently from Spokane, does wine as well. So they are just now, in the last several years, going off into spirits. So this is kind of a new thing for them. They are concerned with partnering with One Tree Planted together to restore forests and, you know, keep Washington green. They use the water from the aquifer, from the Spokane Valley Rathdrum Prairie Aquifer, to use in the distilling process. It provides fresh glacial water and is held to some of the highest standards of drinking water in the United States.
How far away is that from Hanford?
Not far. Oh, it's quite a bit north.
Way away from Hanford.
Sorry, bad woman.
I am a bad woman. I am.
The water,
so now we can't tell
water
about
the other way.
I'm sorry, Brown. I know.
It's down. It's down.
I'll tag him anyway.
Or upstream from
I'll probably tag Catoctin as well. But
They get their rye, wheat, and corn are all sourced and milled in nearby Colfax and Ritzville, so that they use all local products. Okay, so this is a single malt, so it's barley. Closer to a...
It's a different aroma.
It does. Mm-hmm.
Really different.
I almost get a little caramel in there.
Mm-hmm. It says it has a unique nose with elements of older musty wood and perfume aromas resembling that of dried flowers, leather, and tobacco.
I guess that's what I think caramel smells like.
Musty wood. That's what I want. I want that drink with the musty wood.
I know.
The musty wood apple.
Yeah. They.
Where do people come up with this stuff?
Yeah. Well, I do get a little bit of must there. Yeah, I have to admit.
Must or musk?
Must.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Not that, you know, Elon.
Oh. I don't know what he smells like.
This is what Elon smells like.
We don't know what he smells like. So.
I know. I don't want to.
This got cinnamon in the taste.
Mm. Oh.
I haven't tasted it yet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Tasty. You should get some earthy wood with a light sweetness and a strong tobacco essence.
He took the words right out of my mouth. There
are woods.
Just go bite a tree.
Right out of the woods.
Maybe some brown sugar.
Slight bite that gives way to a light sweetness to finish.
So the rye just sort of like burned the front of my mouth, mm-hmm. and this like burns down the middle of the tongue.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have noticed that.
Yeah.
The middle of my tongue is burning right now. Yeah.
And it has...
Tongue is burning.
But it has a... It has a sweeter.
Mm-hmm. It's a sweeter.
It's a barley, so you know it's different that way. But
So I guess in a way, by just blindly saying we're going to do whiskey from our state of birth, it's like now we have all these different ones that are. It's really hard to compare.
It is different.
Though we do have
three ryes.
So that's good.
Mm-hmm. But this
Marlis didn't get
this...
that memo when I said buy your whiskey. I said.
I bought whiskey.
I know.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I didn't give you the memo.
Oh, I see. Yes.
To get rye.
This is true.
Because I didn't know I should.
No.
Oh, look at the sunset.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. We're at the beach. We got to look.
There
Red.
It's, pinks and reds and orange. That's really awesome.
Yeah.
Is John going to take a picture?
I think he should.
You want to use my phone? You want to use my phone that doesn't flash?
Set the camera on your flash too.
I know.
I kind of like this brown single malt.
Yeah, it's good.
I want to say we did a brown at another Beachapalooza. I don't know if it was that one, but we did a brown, and I think Elizabeth brought it.
This is the first Beachapalooza I've been at, so.
And I think she bought it at the Crack Safeway in Tacoma.
Oh, that could be.
I've heard of that market.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's well known. Well known in Tacoma.
Oh, very nice.
We'll put that on our Instagrammy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On the Instagram, as that's how people say.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. So you guys can have the benefit of seeing the beautiful sunset that we are looking at right now. Mm, that's great. Yeah, I like this one too. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very tasty.
Mm-hmm.
So next,
it's me, I think.
It's Maryland style rye whiskey from Colorado. Is that what you said earlier?
That's right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this was kind of interesting because evidently in the 1900s and then in the 20th century before Prohibition, Maryland style whiskey was pretty popular, mm-hmm. although there's not a consistent determination of what exactly that is. Mm-hmm. And so, and then during Prohibition, everybody shut down and mm-hmm. blah, 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 and then corporate whiskey makers came in and everything got sort of the same. But the thing that people who are trying to reproduce the Maryland style whiskey are doing is starting with the rye, but then because in Maryland there was corn around there, they put corn in it, which supposedly makes it sweeter. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes every single brewery, I mean, not distillery, had a slightly different flavor or majorly different flavor, because some of them used, this was before they had the Clean Food Act, and so some people just used whatever yeast was in the air, so ferment it, mm-hmm. and so it could be,
that sounds dangerous.
It could be really different from one batch to the next, even. H.L. Mencken was extremely fond of it and spoke about it frequently, but still, he never described it all that well. So mm-hmm. now, they've got some old bottles, I guess, or something, but they've got these taster guys who are going on descriptions and trying to put it back together somehow. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so this one's from the state that I was born in, although not really my home state. It's the Maryland style. It's from Colorado, and it's 50% alcohol. I guess that's 100 proof. Mm-hmm. 5 years, it's aged for 5 years, and it's a rye whiskey. We don't know exactly how much corn they put in it, but mm-hmm. we'll see. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Doesn't have a real strong aroma.
It's lighter than the other two. Mm-hmm.
I was trying to get my nose in there as far as I could.
Mm-hmm. I didn't smell anything, really.
I do smell it, but...
Well, if I get it really down in there,
it
burns a little, my little nose hairs a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Does it?
Just a little bit.
Well, it's a rye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, let me take a taste.
Yeah, it's got some sweetness, but again, it's more like the first whiskey we tasted, which again was another.
Oh, that is very different.
Mm. Yeah, that's very different from the Catoctin.
Did we mention that this was the Leopold Brothers?
Oh, I forgot to mention, this is the Leopold Brothers.
Mm-hmm. But this is
single barrel.
A lot smoother than the Catoctin Creek.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And but milder.
It's got a real... see, now, this is one that I would describe as having woodsy taste. Like,
I taste the woodsiness of it more after I've swallowed it, and it's just sort of left in my mouth.
Mm-hmm. Woo!
Yeah, no, there is no age statement that I can see on the Catoctin Creek. You okay?
Yeah.
This one just says 5 years.
It's kind of a breath stealer if you...
This one has the barrel number. Oh, and here's the notes that my husband found for me. Uh-huh. In the glass, the whiskey has a dull color. The swish leaves a coating with thick crown and a curtain of weighty tears. The nose opens with blackberry jam smeared on dark rye bread, with a touch of molasses added for good measure.
Oh my God, where do they get
the scent is a bit musty at first, but that fades.
See, what? Musty.
with time spent in the open air. Oh. The flavor isn't too far removed from those aromas, dark berry fruit, a daub of molasses, a dash of hot cinnamon, and from there, the whiskey concludes with lingering blackberries and currant on the tongue and plenty of warmth.
Here ends our dramatic reading. Because that deserved a dramatic reading.
At least it's not wood.
It's really
over-the-top. Musty wood.
Musty wood.
It's kind of an over-the-top review. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A lot of them are, we have found. And it's like, what are they talking about?
Okay. Yeah, and one thing we have to consider is that this is 50 ABV. Mm-hmm. So this is a lot stronger than either of the first two that we tried.
But yet it smelled less.
Yeah, it smelled less, but it's a little more.
Which means you can drink faster. Right. Not that I would encourage that.
No.
Not if you're driving.
I'm not. I'm walking over to the next.
Yeah. I find it a little overpowering, but that's just me.
A larger amount of it.
I think
this alcohol is eating the finish off of this.
Pour some on. See what happens.
No, we're not going to experiment.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No.
It's not a fine piece of furniture anyway.
No.
Yeah, don't record this.
John can edit that part out.
Okay.
There's yours.
Okay, girl. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is from Oregon. I had a little bit of decision about whether to get something from my hometown or the town my birth town or the town I live in. And I got the town I live in because I found something kind of unique here. This is from the Bull Run Distilling, which is named for the reservoir that Portland gets its water from, Bull Run Reservoir, which I guess is probably named for the battlefield, which, you know, doesn't sound like a place you'd really want to name your reservoir. But anyway, but this is a special distilling that they made that was released just in September. In conjunction with the Portland Weird Festival, and which is a celebration of weird things in Portland, which I guess most people would say isn't that just anything in Portland. Mm-hmm. But it's branded for the Unipiper, who's a distinctive Portland personality, is a guy who plays the bagpipes and rolls around on a unicycle.
Or a unicorn.
Marlis thinks unicorn. And you know, that would be also Portlandish.
Yeah.
But oftentimes he has a rig where he blows flames out of the pipes of the bagpipe. He oftentimes wears a Darth Vader helmet and does the theme from from Darth Vader's theme from the Imperial March from Star Wars. And you know, he does a bunch of other kind of tricks. He does birthday parties and stuff like that. He's just sort of been like Portland institution long enough that he gets his own whiskey. this is bottle number 62 of a limited run. It's 57.66 ABV, so it's 115.32 proof. So
nice. We have very small pours.
Yeah.
The
Bull Run Distilling is operated was established by a guy named Lee Medoff, who's the former distiller for a number of places, including places that made Medioff vodka and aviation gin, which are also based out of, which are pretty big names in Portland. This is the notes on the back of this. There's no reviews of this that I'm aware of at this point, because again, it's pretty new. Yeah. And it's a limited run. Mm-hmm. So
Hearing it here first.
Yes. It's cheers. Cheers to weird. For decades, the Unipiper has dared to blaze his own trait, sparking our imagination and creativity. Now, with that same brand of originality, the Unipiper wishes to inspire you in an entirely new way with this namesake spirit. The Unipiper whiskey started life as a straight rye, which was then finished in rum barrels.
Oh.
Hand-selected by the Unipiper himself.
Oh,
wow.
Yes.
For an experience as unique as bagpipes and unicycles. Not right. Unicorns.
No.
Yeah. With this whiskey, Bull Run is donating a portion of the proceeds to Weird Portland United, the only nonprofit fully dedicated to keeping Portland weird. So raise a glass of the Unipiper, and may it give you the courage to find your own weird self. So.
Okay.
We don't have to go far to do that.
No. I mean.
But I think here's to Portland Weird.
Here's to Portland Weird. And here's to 100.
We're raising our little red solo cup.
Proof, right?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, goodness.
Maybe clack our little tiny glasses. Yeah.
I know.
Plastic cups. Yes.
That's right.
There. Oh, here you go.
Okay. Again,
there isn't a real strong aroma.
Is there?
I'm not smelling it.
Oh, so there isn't a really strong aroma.
Yeah,
okay,
so,
yeah, okay.
There's a slight one.
Pretty mild considering.
Yeah.
It seems almost as the higher the alcohol, the lighter the scent.
Yeah.
I get a real strong licorice and cough drop thing with this. Cough drop's not my fave.
The taste?
Yeah.
Oh.
I tasted it. I leaped ahead. Well, I sipped ahead.
Yeah. You might say. I don't get that.
No?
Mm-mm. I get something, but I'm not sure I can place it.
I'm getting some vanilla.
Yeah, I think vanilla.
Vanilla that burns.
It's not as... No, I don't find it as burny as I expected it to.
No.
No.
It's the finish is burny.
Yeah, it's more burny than that Maryland style. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Maryland style I found to be very smooth. Mm-hmm. My tongue is burning now, but the initial
taste... Like it's been burned by a bagpipe's fires.
Yeah. That's pretty the Unipiper coming to call.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, that's interesting.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I would say a little of this goes a long way.
So which one would you guys drink for if you were just going to recreationally have some whiskey?
Of these four?
Yeah.
I'm torn between the brown and the Maryland style.
Leopold. Are you sure that's not just because you're from Virginia? Because it's close.
Yeah, right next to each other.
Yeah, right next to each other.
Oh, I see what you're saying. It's like, what? No, I don't think so, because it's the Maryland style. It's actually made in Colorado, so...
Yes, that's true. Plus the Maryland style, nobody knows what it is.
That's right. So. Well, they will now. All four people that listen to our podcast will know now.
Well, they aren't going to really know, because there's two different groups of thinking about how they interpret what they did.
Yeah.
No, I think that's... I'm torn between the two, and they're totally different.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think I'm leaning harder towards the Maryland style.
Mm-hmm. I see that she's hugging the brown.
Yeah,
so
that would be
that's her first choice.
Yes, I can appreciate rye at times, but it is not my favorite, and that's just me. It has nothing to do with the quality of the rye.
Mm.
It's just I'm a malt girl, so the brown would be my favorite.
My usual go-to is like Glenfiddich. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I buy, because I like the bottle shape.
Well, they do have lovely bottles. Important.
They have beers.
And that, you know, I've got another bottle of rye sitting upstairs up in the cupboard where the other hard spirits sit most of the time. And these two are going to go visit them, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Until I can convince Barbara to drink more rye, I guess.
I have had rye that I like, you know, but it's... Again, I would prefer the barley. So, you know, that's just me.
So, describe to me as a novice. What's the big difference between rye and barley? Is there just a sharp taste of rye grain?
Rye is like I said, obstreperous.
I prefer to eat barley than rye bread.
Yeah. Rye, barley, I think it's smoother. And it's just a different taste. For me, it's a fuller, rounder taste. Less sharp, less... kind of in your face. And yet it's more flavorful than like a wheat whiskey, which can be really soft.
I should try that.
Now a bourbon is sweet. It's not quite as, you know, fiery as rye. It's a little sweeter than a scotch or a single malt, and there are some bourbons I like quite a bit, but barley is my favorite.
So it's sort of like, so comparing it with beer, like the rye would be more like the IPAs with too much hops. Not too much, John. No,
that's all right.
A whole hell of a lot of hops.
Yeah. A lot of hops.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Who wants to explain Bill?
Yeah. What is Bill?
Bill?
It's part of the brewing process.
Oh, like a mash bill.
A mash bill.
Yeah.
That would say, if for one of these, it would say, well, it's 80% rye, 15% corn.
So it's like 5% the bill of labeling wheat.
It's a mash bill. It's the recipe or the percentages.
That's what they don't have in Maryland style. They are making it up.
Yeah. And a brown, if it's a single malt, it's all barley.
Mm-hmm.
So... if it's a bourbon, it has to be at least 51% corn.
But then you can add all sorts of other things in there.
And they mentioned with Maryland stuff that for a while they were sweetening it up by pouring juice in it and stuff.
Oh, Lord.
Back in the day.
My goodness, yeah, okay.
Before the Clean Food Act or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, okay, Daryl, what's your favorite?
Actually, I was kind of partial to your brown. I thought it was pretty good. Mm-hmm. The Maryland style from Leopold Brothers was good. I'm not going to toss out either the Unipiper or Catoctin Creek. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I will drink all of them. In fact, I think Barbara's left
the only
portions.
One I've kept is
portions of her tasting
for
cups for me to
have.
Finish off. So,
which one did you keep, Barbara?
The last one, which was
the Unipiper.
Was it Unipiper?
The last one was Unipiper.
Here, taste. Tell me if it's
I'm the wrong
Unipiper
person.
One.
I'm the wrong person to taste if it's taste to taste test. I don't think that's the Unipiper.
Okay. Is this the hers, brown?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Okay. So
I think it might be your Maryland or a...
It might be the Maryland. Well, this one was okay.
Mm-hmm. John, did you say what yours was?
Not yet. No, I think of the four, I would probably pick the brown, honestly, because I'm not as much of a rye person. Mm-hmm. And I do like
sorry for bringing two ryes to you.
I know,
it's
that's
okay.
Fine.
No,
that's fine.
No, it's there. I mean, as ryes go, these are all three really good. Mm-hmm. The Piper? What was the really high octane?
Bull
one,
Run.
Right?
The Bull Run Unipiper was the 115.
Yeah, yeah. That had some good flavor to it, but it's a little more intense than I like, just because of the alcohol content. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But the flavor was good, and I would say that about all three of them. But yeah. Rye has a tendency to be a little sharper in the taste than I like. I like a little bit mellower whiskey. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're all good, but I would probably choose the brand.
So I noticed we didn't talk about pricing on any of these.
Oh, we forgot.
Yeah, I was trying to think. I think the brown was about 70, between 65 and 80, anyway, somewhere in there.
The Catoctin Creek on their website is $45, but then there's always shipping.
That's right.
Do you want to know how much yours was?
Yeah.
Okay, so I picked this up, mm-hmm. and I had to go cross state lines.
Oh, my goodness.
To get... the Leopold Brothers Maryland style for Barbara, and it was $82.99 for the bottle.
Was that in Washington?
Was in Washington, plus tax, making it $103 roughly.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
Taxes and fees.
Taxes and fees, whatever. Mm-hmm. Oh, but I noticed, barreled on 5/13/17.
Oh.
So this is... Yeah, it's been in a barrel for a while. It's got 20% Leopold Brothers four malt, the best. 65% rye and 15% corn. The Unipiper Bull Run Distilling was $65.
No extra fees?
No, it's Oregon. There's no state sales tax.
That's true.
Eat it, suckers.
Yeah, definitely.
No, actually, the prices are all set by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. Yeah.
That's right.
And they'll steal your Pappy Van Winkle if they feel like it.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. I know.
They all got in trouble for that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sort of.
Well,
anyway.
I don't think they'll be doing it again, and I think they've been doing it for a while.
Yeah. But it's tempting. That was I bought this direct from the Unipiper direct from Bull Run's tasting room as well. So because they didn't have it out in the stores yet, It had just been released like a week or two before I bought it.
That's cool.
I didn't go to the Portland Weird Festival, but I did go down to the Northwest Portland to buy the
Austin claims to be weird too.
Yeah, Boston. Yeah. If they wanted to be weird, they should have. If they wanted to be weird, they should have done it years ago.
I know. Well, and in defense of rye, I have to say that there are some ryes that I actually like and will drink straight, you know, mm-hmm. with just an ice cube or so. But these are all a little kind of in your face.
Boisterous.
Yeah.
Boisterous.
Yeah, yeah.
Does anybody want to hear about an honorable mention?
Well, sure. Of course.
There's a bottle of Freeland, also from Portland back there, since I am from Oregon. I wasn't going to bring a fifth one. If anybody wants to taste it, you're welcome to.
We got it. Let's get it
not
out.
Not necessary. Yeah.
Bring it if you don't want to. So you can drink it straight from the bottle.
That's right. Yeah,
there you go. We'll just pass the bottle around.
It's,
I know.
It's probably high enough proof.
Mm-hmm. Give everybody another
one. Are we running out of little tiny cups?
Oh, no. Nope. We got more tiny cups.
We haven't even.
You want to sit out this one, Barbara?
I might sit it out. Why don't you drink the one second?
Why don't I drink the... Yeah, sure. Well, why don't I do that? Why don't I just, like, try to get down the stairs?
I'll get one first.
Sure. Don't know which it is.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
that's right.
I don't want to waste it.
But you're recording.
Especially.
I don't know.
Okay, Tom, here's a clean glass, too, for the new one.
Thank you.
Anybody else need a clean one?
No. What is this now?
This is... Freeland Spirits Bourbon Whiskey. So not a rye.
From Freeland, like Whidbey Island?
Actually, it's from Portland.
Oh, okay.
And
I like
is,
the bottle.
It
it's
is
a beautiful
aged
bottle.
In
Pinot.
Bourbon whiskey.
Yeah, Pinot casks. It's a single malt aged in Pinot casks, I believe.
Oh, well, no, but it's a bourbon.
Yeah.
I can see
well,
that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, you're right. I'm sorry.
It says bourbon.
Yes.
I can see that. No, a rose yes. in that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would look cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a beautiful bottle.
Do you want to hand me a glass?
Kind of an oval.
Yeah, the new one?
In there.
Yeah. Oval shaped. Lovely bottle.
I thought it was a single malt, but it's not. It's a bourbon. Mm-hmm.
I just want everyone to know that I cut my finger on the foil of a bottle, and I'm going to be claiming L&I.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there you go.
If only I was a company.
If only we were paid for this.
Right? If only we were paid for this.
Yeah.
Out of the kindness of their mm-hmm. hearts.
Okay, so tell us about this bourbon.
Tastes Ooh. Good.
I Freeland know. Spirits, finished in Pinot Noir barrels. You already said that. 46% ABV.
Did you have to order that, or did you?
I did, yeah.
And that's about all. But God, is that a beautiful bottle.
It's got yes, I love the
a lady
fatness.
Arching her back and holding up a branch. Freeland, Portland, Oregon.
Does it look sort of like Art Nouveau lady?
Yeah. Well, yeah, or Art Deco maybe. It's kind of a tear-shaped bottle. That's what I was going to say.
It's kind
yeah.
of
Nouveau. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I'd call that deco more mm-hmm. because
bad,
it's,
you're probably right.
It's got the you know like
too
spirit
for...
of ecstasy
yes,
kind of
yes,
look to it.
Yes, yes. Not a whole lot of strong aromas.
We'd have got you that. You didn't need to order that. We could have just popped over and picked it up for you.
Probably, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Not a lot of burn in the aroma anyway. Mmm. Tasty.
No, I really like this one. As you can see, we've been drinking it.
It looks like you like it.
Yeah.
It's half gone. So,
it's half gone. So. Mm-hmm.
I will admit, I did take a taste of the Bull Run Unipiper at the distillery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I had it wasn't entirely new to me.
Ah. Cheater.
So, I hope no one writes in about that.
Yeah, I'm liking the bourbon. I'm liking the Freeland Spirits bourbon. But at 46%, it is a bit of a push, explosion in the mouth.
How much is bourbon usually, percentage-wise?
Usually between 40 and 43% is kind of normal bottling.
Mm-hmm.
At least
Blanton's
with Scotch.
Is 47, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, Blanton's is smoother.
46 or 47, yeah. It's pretty good.
Blanton's is in kind of a class by itself.
I could have just swung by Freeland to like you know while I was over next mm-hmm. over near Bull Run because it's like about 4 or 5 blocks away I think.
Good to know.
it's the distillery district.
Yeah. So, when we come down to visit.
I mean, I'm just saying, these distilleries are over in Northwest.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Northwest, yeah. There's a lot of old industrial buildings available.
Yeah, there. Although they're like kind of right in the middle of some of the, it looks like new they're kind of right in the middle of the new buildings and stuff, so. And the houses.
But I've been really liking the different whiskeys and that we've tried that have been aged in
various casks and stuff. Yes.
Different wines, sherry.
Red wine, we've
even had some that were aged in IPA casks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, stout casks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are. It just adds a complexity to the
27th and Vaughan.
To the whiskey, I think. And I really like this one. This one's really nice.
Yeah, it's got a little bit more burn than a lot of them do, but it's not overpowering. And I just love the added flavor from the wine casks.
It's once you get it into your mouth, I mean, there is that kind of burn to start, but then it's very mellow and it kind of, I like it.
It's all good.
Right. So, there you go. A geographical tour. Coast to coast.
Washington, Oregon, Virginia,
and Maryland.
That's like
that's it. It's like a wasteland in
between. Two states next to each other on either side of the country.
Exactly. Yes, and rye, corn, barley, you know. Mm-hmm. A lesson is that there is a whiskey for everyone, and you just have to keep looking for the one that really suits you. We should have brought the Glendronach. That would be good.
Which one?
Micro distillers. Micro distillers are doing amazing work. They're doing innovative work. They're imagining different recipes, different finishes, different things, and it is a lively industry these days, and we're very happy about that.
Gives us a lot to talk about.
So thank you for listening, and goodbye until next time.
Thanks for inviting us.
Yeah.